Boom, boom. We are back. What's going on, everybody? UFC 270, main event, Francis Ngannou, Ciryl Gane. Not the fight that we expected. The co-main event was great, but, I mean, this main event, Francis Ngannou evolved into a wrestler, down to nothing. We were talking about it pre-show, and he got the takedowns, and he did what he needed to do to fight, and to win the fight. And Ciryl Gane, I think, was playing it as if, this is how you're supposed to fight Francis Ngannou. I thought he was doing perfect. And then the second he tried to throw the axe kick, caught by Francis Ngannou, and then taken down, that changed the fight completely. The leg lock attempt changed the fight completely. I want to bring in my co-host, Aaron the Dog. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. My boy, yeah, Blake Schneiders. Man, what an amazing night. What did you guys think of the main event specifically so far to start the night? And we'll rattle down the whole card, but we got to start there. We got to start with the main event, heavyweight championship.
Aaron, I'll go first.
Okay, cool. First and foremost, full disclosure, I do bet on the fights. I do the betting previews and everything like that. And I saw Francis Ngannou as an underdog. I bet Francis Ngannou as an underdog. Not exactly how I drew it up, though. Losing the first two rounds, I texted everybody in my phone, this fight's over. We're about to just see pitter-patter Gane, which I've defended plenty of times. I defended against Rozenstruik, Volkov. Like, I really do love the technical striking of Gane, just not when you're betting against it. I have not been on this side until now. So it was pretty tough. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it turns into Francis in Nurmagomedov. So cruises to the comeback now. I think that every single heavyweight should be kind of terrified now, because he doesn't just have, he's not going to lose the first two rounds too often. And now if he does, he can do this. So it's just like, okay. Pretty crazy. And it keeps him in MMA, no matter what questions Rogan wants to ask about fucking boxing. This keeps him in MMA. So we have Ngannou for at least like another year in MMA. So I'm happy. Cash the bet and, squeak out of there with the win.
Yeah, that's a winner for Aaron the Dog. And Blake, yeah, you picked Francis too. Lay it on me. I had Ciryl.
I picked Francis too over there on Rooted MMA. I know you and Micah, the producer Micah, was heavily on Ciryl Gane. And I'll tell you what, as the fight week progressed, I was pretty excited because not only did I expect Ciryl Gane to perform, but I expected Francis to step up to the stage. And I think that's exactly what he did. I think that when you guys were picking Ciryl Gane, I hadn't really analyzed Ciryl Gane the way you guys had. But really, he's a giant gazelle. He's probably the biggest gazelle ever known to man. The guy is light on his feet. He knows how to fight. He knows how to grapple. But really, what we saw today was a man who stepped into the cage with somebody who takes on adversity in the form of Francis Ngannou. Francis Ngannou, if we go back to I think it goes back to the very first Stipe Miocic fights for Francis Ngannou. Stipe Miocic wrestled the hell out of Francis Ngannou, and he didn't know how to accept that. He did not know how to attack that. When you look at his two fights since his championship fight, where he, unfortunately, I'm a big Stipe fan, he embarrassed Stipe. I mean, he obliterated one of the greatest champions that the UFC has ever had in heavyweight division. And then he became the new heavyweight champion. And I loved it. The dude's powerful. His story is incredible. But one thing I think he does well is he adapts really well and far progresses he almost out progresses what I thought he was going to do. I did not expect this to be a wrestling match. One bit.
Nobody did. Nobody did.
And really what happened was Francis came in and pretty much neutralized every single thing that Ciryl was trying to do. He got a few hits in there. There was a chance in there where Ciryl was on top. But I think it was more of a mistake on Cyril's part for not having enough experience in the game when he was on top, and then he got reversed by Ngannou in that fourth round or fifth round. I forget. Which was it, fourth or fifth?
It was the fifth round. When he went through the leg lock.
Yeah.
Like, you look like you're about to put a flashlight under you and tell the story of Francis Nurmagomedov. That's what you look
Francis Nurmagomedov. What's going on? I'm sorry. I've got the Jimmy rig.
No, it looks like you're telling like a scary tale of what happened tonight, and it's terrifying for all heavyweights. And we got some comments in the building. I mean, you say it's boring, Anthony. I mean, the card itself was great. I could see how you would say that. I could see that opinion, but Francis Ngannou is a terrifying man now that he can do the takedowns. He almost got like some submissions going on, but his game's not there yet. But Eric Nixick's a fantastic coach. I think he deserves a lot of credit for this victory tonight. And I mean, what's next for Francis Ngannou? We could talk about Fernan Lopez. We could talk about Ciryl Gane and that whole what happens now with that. Like Fernan's probably pissed off. But what's next for Ciryl or Francis Ngannou? What's next for him? Because they didn't talk about it. Joe didn't talk about it. What's next?
I'll tell you what, man. And sorry, Aaron. I'm going to go here.
Dude, go for it. Yeah, you go.
To kind of finish my point was, it's weird to see how Ciryl Gane is adapting to each fighter in the most productive way he knows how. I think Francis Ngannou, when he faced Stipe the first time, Stipe out-wrestled him. Then he realized, I just need to attack Stipe. I don't need to wrestle him. With Ciryl Gane, Ciryl is so well-rounded, but he doesn't have that deep water experience. What happens is that Ciryl didn't know how to handle the fact that Francis knew exactly what Ciryl was going to do. And maybe that goes back to the days of them being sparring partners back in France. I don't know. But Francis Ngannou seems to be adapting and forming his ability very well for how he's continuing. Each opponent, I think a lot of people thought Ciryl Gane was going to do the ground game and submit, which is what he tried to do. Francis Ngannou had to have practiced that immensely for this fight. And it's incredible to see how far he's come when none of us thought that Francis Ngannou was a ground fighter. So I think Francis is truly, he embodies his name, the Predator. If you guys have ever seen the Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, what does the Predator do best? He fights you, adapts to your abilities, and then becomes your abilities. And I think that's exactly what he does. Aaron, tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're preaching the gospel. I mean, I interrupt when I disagree. I listen when I'm agreeing. And I just think that I get people saying it was boring, but I also kind of don't get people saying it was boring at all. I mean, again, now we've got set up for when Derek Lewis dispatches of Tai Tuivasa in a couple weeks. We got Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou, to the sequel everybody's been waiting for, to that amazing first fight that went all 25 minutes. But, you know, I just think that with Gane, now all of the arguments that kind of – there's a few fights on this card that there's going to be a lot of hindsight analysis with. People are going to all of a sudden say Gane got this too soon. But, like, it's like he beat Rozenstruik. He beat Volkov. He earned the interim title. Part of getting to this point so quickly is that you got to this point so quickly. So he did make, like, every mistake in the book to lose this fight. So I think in a year or whenever this fight happens again, there's tons of intrigue. There's tons of arguments for why Gane should win the fight. And, frankly, at this point, if they were – you know, getting paired up in a year, I might think about taking Gane because I think he's going to get a lot better from this loss because he could have won this fight. At the end of the day, he really could have won this fight, like, very, you know, not very easily because he's against Ngannou. But I just think this makes the heavyweight division pretty interesting, honestly. I think if Gane would have won, it actually would have made it more boring because we would have seen Ngannou go to celebrity boxing or something. Like, he would have just went somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then we have Gane just kind of dominating Derek Lewis again, or dominating, you know, Curtis Blaydes. Like, it's so, I do think overall it might not, the last two fights, I feel like we can probably talk about Moreno and Figueiredo here too in a minute. Sure, yeah. We want to just go into that now.
Well, I want to ask, do you run that fight back immediately, or is there, you think
Gane and Ngannou?
Yeah, or is there another heavyweight out there that you think
deserves? No, I think you hopefully Lewis knocks out Tai Tuivasa, and then you can run Lewis and Ngannou this summer.
Okay, I mean he does have a loss over Lewis. Yeah, so
yeah, and Lewis can get on the mic and sell that.
Well, and I'm a fan of Lewis because even he came out and he said I pretty much had a not anything short of a mental breakdown when it came to his fight. He even said, I think if it was any other city, I wouldn't have performed as bad as I was. But because I was in front of my hometown in Houston, I freaked out. He even said, I don't want to be the champion. I just fight because I love it, and I fight because it makes me money.
John Jones, baby. John Jones.
Well,
who's John Jones? Is that guy a fighter?
John Jones, right? Let's
go. Has he fought in this decade?
No. Or okay. I mean, yes, obviously.
But. Has he fought in the 2020s?
No.
I'm not actually interested in anybody who hasn't fought in the 2020s. So
I would say Derek Lewis. I would say Derek Lewis, and then also me and my buddies were talking. I think John Jones would be an excellent matchup for both Ngannou and Ciryl Gane. I think Ciryl Gane would be a great matchup for John Jones's first heavyweight fight, whenever that might ever be.
Not a chance now that Gane lost that's Jones's first fight. Not a chance.
Really? You don't think so?
Nope. Either it's going to be Ngannou or they're going to give him a very favorable heavyweight matchup with somebody like fringe kind of top five, like maybe Curtis Blaydes even. Like just one where like John Jones can really put on a show and still sell it.
You're thinking either
Gone, there's nothing for them to gain from
you're
that.
Thinking Jones either fights for the title or he's fighting somebody that's going to be an easy matchup before he gets
to somebody the that's an easy matchup to where he can still win impressively and they can sell. So like honestly, Curtis Blaydes seems like the guy who, if it's not the title, it seems like John Jones, because John Jones can just dance around Blaydes, and wrestling wise, like it's close, but like you can argue, like I beat Curtis Blaydes still has name value somehow.
Of course.
So, yeah. And it's like John Jones versus Curtis Blaydes. It's like,
yeah,
but otherwise, or John Jones fights for the title right away, but I don't think he will.
I don't think you run this fight back immediately. I don't think that.
You can build it up for a year. Let Gon get the experience he needs. So.
Yeah, I don't think Ciryl showed enough in this fight to prove that he's better than Ngannou. Like I said, it's weird how Ngannou seems to jump levels so quickly depending on the opponent. I think it just goes to show you how much he trains, how much he has to learn, and how much of a novice he was, but raw natural talent he had coming into the game. I mean, his story alone is incredible. The weight change he's had is incredible. The power change he's had is incredible. And the man ceases to amaze me. I mean, the dude, every single fight, he is better than he was the previous fight. I didn't see anything from Ciryl Gane in this fight that was like, oh, he's so much better than when he faced Derek Lewis. I just didn't see it. So, yeah, I'm on your side, Aaron. I don't think this fight gets run back, at least for quite a while, until Ciryl. Yeah. Again, he's 10-0 in the game, but that's 10-0. I mean, that is a low record compared to most people who have championship fights. So yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting. I think the heavyweight division right now is if it wasn't interesting before, it's interesting now.
Yeah, exactly. I agree, and it's just like the last thing I'll say is that when Francis Ngannou's head hit the back of the mat, I think in the third round with Gane, and he got up from that. That's just a turning point in Ngannou's career, because that was the moment in the Stipe fight where, you know, the belly button popped out and like he couldn't breathe for the last two rounds. Like this is why in MMA losses are such a requirement. I don't think other than in Nurmagomedov that there's any of these undefeated fighters and John Jones besides Matt Hamill BQ, the best loss of all time. Most impressive loss you'll ever see. But, you know, besides the two outliers, it's like losses have to happen in order for you to get better. And I just think that, you know, this is – and Gane is another example of that. And Gane will be an example of that from Ngannou. Like, once Gane leaves Fernand Lopez and goes to America to train with, like, American Top Team or something in a couple of years.
Oh, man. You're on some
I'm not a Ferdinand fan, man. Not a Ferdinand fan. Dude, he really came across terrible this last few weeks. He made it completely about him. And I don't think that helped the case. So
you're right. Saying that. And then the last thing I'll say is I don't think John Jones comes back unless it's a title shot, but he might need to get back in the UFC's good graces, and he might just take a pre-fight before the heavyweight title shot if he were to get
back. He'll dispatch a Curtis Blaydes if he has to.
Yeah. We'll see, but yeah, interesting stuff in the heavyweight division. Now we got to talk about the co-main event. It was just an absolute firecracker once again, in the good way. And, I mean, Davison Figueiredo is the champion now. And Brandon Moreno, I think, and I'm not mad at the decision, I'll say that. I'm not mad at it. I did think Brandon Moreno won the fight, personally. Yeah.
Yes.
Mind the decision, but it just sets up the fourth ultimate battle against these guys. And I don't really like quadrilogies, but I'm down for this one, and I'm down for a fifth one, and I'm down for just this to keep cycling for maybe the next, you know, couple years. I'm down for that. Like, what did you guys think? We'll start, you know, Blake, if you want to start off with what did you think about the decision? And then what did you think about the fight?
I thought the fight, just like the previous two fights, was a fucking war. It was beautiful. They were absolutely throwing bombs. People were knocking each other down. There was a I don't know how they considered knockdowns for Figueiredo, if they were considering them off leg kicks. They were perfectly timed leg kicks, hitting them low ankle. It was sweeping Moreno off the feet. But two times in those four leg kicks, Moreno, while he got swept off his feet, landed a flush right hand. So, to me, that's a wash at that point. Because Figueiredo was stunned on the first flush right hand that he landed. I thought the fight was fantastic. These guys have been to war every single time. Do I want to see a fourth fight? Absolutely. Yes, I do. I mean, like, yes. Are you kidding me? These guys, I think there's certain people in mixed martial arts that anytime they get together, there's a certain pungent either hate, respect, or hate respect that everybody kind of gives each other. And I think these guys are one of those another group of guys that I think that would give us a great fight no matter how many times you matched them up. Is the infamous Conor McGregor Nate Diaz fight. I think those guys, anytime you pair them up, they are going to absolute war. Figueiredo versus Moreno, they don't care. They're going war every single time. And I could watch these guys fight 100 times and I would be entertained every single time, just like I could be entertained by Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor every single time. It's one of those fights that's just something about it. Both fighters put everything on the line. I'm personally on the fight that I thought this was a biased-ass score. I thought Moreno won. Again, don't know how they counted a knockdown depending on those legs kicks. I just thought Moreno landed a higher volume and heavier strikes. I haven't even looked at the actual numbers yet because we've been so ecstatic from these fights that it's just been – it's kind of been a nut house over here. But – to me, I felt that Moreno won that fight, and I honestly didn't know. I didn't have a favorite in this fight. I didn't know who was going to win. Both times these guys have gone to war before, it's been changing hands at the belt both times. This was fantastic. This is what fight fans wanted. This is what fight fans needed. And I think both Brandon Moreno has an amazingly bright future in UFC. We have already seen just an inkling of it, and it's been some of the best fights I've ever seen. Davison Figueiredo, the veteran that he is, has been fantastic. It's almost like the young bull and the old bull. If I don't know if you ever heard the story of the young bull and the old bull, but those two guys to me are the quintessential embodiment of what mixed martial arts is about. Two grown men going to absolute war and none of them giving up no matter how many times they face each other. I was enthralled with the fight. Aaron, I don't know about you. I had Moreno winning the fight, but I thought overall I could watch this fight 100 times in a row and still be amazed.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much had it the same, but I definitely think that Brandon's a big fan of Blake, first of all.
You got a fan.
Quiet, quaint, But yeah, we should get Brandon on here. I'm sure he has a lot to say. But yeah, three. I think it's just like it's a fight where you got a three rounds of two, one way or the other. And by having it scored for Davison here, we get a fourth fight. That's what needed to happen, I guess. Either way, and it's just it's tough. I personally did have it for Moreno, you know, and I think that when I heard unanimous, I kind of relaxed a little bit. I was like, okay. And then, you know, I mean, but either way, I mean, it was close enough to where I think both guys definitely are who need to be fighting for the title again at flyweight. I kind of said this again, like,
surprised that it was unanimous.
I mean, at the end of the day, they all score separately. So, I mean, I always believe every fight should be unanimous. Like, I never believe when people are like, oh, this should be scored a split, because that means that each judge is independently scoring the fight. So it's like, ideally, it should always be a unanimous decision because they should all individually score the fight the same way. So, like, I mean,
we don't we don't see that in majority of fights. So it's,
I'd like to see more draws, honestly. It's just, you know, because I think this could have easily been a draw, but it's just like, I don't know which round was specifically the draw round when it's a 10 plus must 10 scoring system. So, I mean, they're going to be able to run this back. I think both guys are relatively healthy, so they'll probably be able to run it back like early, you know, summer or so. And I mean, you've got the heel champion. I think that always works a little bit better from the UFC's perspective. Davidson's going to definitely play into that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I mean, it was close.
Josh and Aaron, you can both kind of correct me on this if I'm wrong, but in my opinion, I feel like when you're the champion, you have to outright beat the champion to become the champion.
Okay, so I am not a believer. I am not a believer in this at all. I really don't think that. I think this is just kind of something that gets said a lot, and people. I think whoever, you know, ends up winning the fight should win the fight. I don't think it really matters at the end of the day how closely they beat, you know, a champion or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, Brandon, we love you too, man. Thanks for, you know, your comments. We appreciate it, man. Glad to be here with you. Fellow MMA fan. We might as well tear each other apart. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really think that the beat the champion thing matters from my perspective. So whoever wins the fight, like, I just think that Moreno, whether he was the champion or not the champion, won the fight. Like they said, like the power was with Figueiredo, but throughout that fight, I thought Moreno was the one who was landing the more powerful shots, actually. So, kind of confused by that, but I'm terrified, Brandon. Terrified.
The big storylines in this fight, or the big, was the left hand of Brandon Moreno, the counter left hand, and then the big overhand right by Figueiredo. And they both landed them. They both landed them well. And I thought the left hand landed a little bit more for Moreno than it did with the right hand for Figueiredo, but obviously he dropped him at the end of the third round, and that kind of started. I mean, at the end of the first round, they just looked at each other and they knew that they were in for five rounds pretty much. So, amazing fight, sets up a fourth one. Bottom line, but as to your question, Blake, I'm a fan of, you got to beat the champion, you got to kind of decisively, even if it's split. I don't really like a split decision going to and new. But unanimous, if it's unanimous for the judges, then it's and new, then I'm kind of with Aaron, you know, it, judge it as you see it. And I don't mind the decision. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. Let's talk about the rest of the card. I mean, Aaron, you're a betting guy. Yes. You have your own channel over at Aaron the Dog MMA. What were some of your big winners tonight? Who were you right on? Who were you right on?
Definitely my biggest, I think, winner, and one that the money was constantly moving away from as the fight got closer, was Michael Morales, the Ecuadorian fighter, 22 years old. All of a sudden, I think he's going to be on many more people's radars. And I was kind of talking about earlier with Gon how everybody pointed to the experience afterwards. And they're like, oh, obviously Gon wasn't going to win this fight. Not enough experience. Like, now everybody, you know, becomes an expert like they did with Cater last week over Giga. now this week, a few of these fights. If this was a higher profile fight, a lot more people would be like, obviously, Giles cutting to 170 for the first time, fresh off of a knockout, his chin's going to be compromised. All those are part of the opponent Michael Morales was facing. So that's part of why I liked him in this spot. Michael Morales, you know, faced some adversity in this fight also, which I think is always a good thing. Really, right. Really telling, you know, came back from some tough positions against a guy who's beat Brandon Allen, beating Ryan Spann, beating some huge middleweights, I mean, in his career. And now he, you know, was coming down to 170. He looked good. Tested Morales, and so Morales was one of my favorite bets on the card throughout the week, and I saw a lot of people on Giles, so that was definitely one that I invested in pretty heavily, was happy with, so yeah.
Well, Michael Morales. You're right. I was one of those people on Team Giles. I just thought, from seeing him previously, I was on the Giles train, but after watching that fight, Morales, I mean, he put on a hell of a fight and just looked – it wasn't so much that he looked like he wanted it more. He looked like he outperformed Giles, and I thought in every aspect almost. Obviously, Giles is a hell of a fighter. He's going to have a good career, hopefully, in the UFC. But I was pretty impressed by Morales. And I know I'm going to go here in a minute, Josh, but I mean, this was a good fight that it kind of started off the card for me where – I started looking at – because I made my own predictions. I know Josh posted his predictions. I made my own predictions as well, going card by card, as we do every week. But I started off wrong in, like, three of the five fights. So it was one of those where I was like, man, I think I need to reevaluate how I'm looking at some of these guys. And I think it kind of made me reevaluate how I view – fighters, especially switching weight classes. I never really put a whole lot on switching weight classes, and maybe I should going forward because that's a huge thing. Gaining or losing weight, it's going to affect you regardless. And I think I put too much on Trevin Giles, and we saw what happened. So all claps to Morales, all hands to Morales. He looked fantastic, and I can't wait to see him fight again because whatever card he's on, I'm going to be watching.
Yeah, 22 years old. Absolute stud. Before we let you go, Blake, and thanks for coming on again tonight for the second edition of – or the second pay-per-view or second fight night, I should say.
Yeah, first pay-per-view. Yeah. First official pay-per-view.
Official pay-per-view. Blake, we had 8 newcomers tonight. Who was your debut – who made their debut stand out tonight? And we had some good decisions on the card. So who made their debut of the night first time in the UFC? Is it Michael Morales for you?
I was going to say Morales to me, because I knew the opponent so well, I've seen a bunch of Giles fights to me, and I'd love to point out other guys, but to me, it was just an impressive win for somebody that I thought I knew a lot about and then came in and got beat, not just beat and stunned. It wasn't a stunning win. It was a technical demolition of a fighter that I knew. So I think that kind of took me aback pretty quickly. So I think it has to be Morales. I think that he came in, impressed me very much, and I can't wait for the next card he's on, regardless of who's the main event. I would like to see him, you know, on a late prelim, early main card next fight, because I think he is going to be somebody that fans are going to want to watch going forward.
Absolutely. And then Blake, fight of the night, you have any?
I don't think there's any question. I think fight of the night has to go to Divizin Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. I think there's no question there needs to be a fourth fight between those guys. It was fantastic. I could see these guys fight 16 times, and every single time I'd be enthralled by the entire fight. It was fantastic. And every single fight, I still don't know who I'd pick. That's the funny part. I still don't know who I'd pick. Right now, technically, it's 2-1 Figueiredo. They need to bring it back because, in my eyes, it's 2-1 Moreno, and I think all the fans who love
Moreno. Oh, it's 1-1-1.
1-1-1-1.
Essentially, it's 1-1-1. I still think that I don't know. I really don't know how. I mean, yes, Figueiredo got, again, essentially takedowns for himself, but I just, watching that fight, every inch of my body said Moreno won. And this is from, you know, you and I have watched how many, I mean, how many fights have we watched, Josh? We've watched 1,000 fights at this point. I mean, we've been deep in the game before we were ever commentators in the game. And I just felt like Moreno looked more appealing to the judges. And maybe I was playing the championship aspect effect into it. I know Aaron is not so much on the, you got to beat the champ to be the champ. And I get that. I totally respect that opinion. To me, I just thought it was better. So it's just one of those things where I could watch these guys fight 20 times and I'd be ecstatic every single time.
Yep. Yeah. And Dylan's asking about the other contenders. It is what it is. There's going to be a little log jam there.
Yeah.
I mean, if there really was a tough situation. I mean, yeah, it's tough for them, but yeah, this has to happen again. It'll happen quickly.
For me.
And then finally, Blake, before we let you go, thanks for coming on again. Who's getting the 50K performance bonus for you tonight? If you're Dana White, who gets it?
50K for performance bonus, man, that's tough. Okay, so I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be brutally honest with you guys. I'm holding my phone, putting the light on my face, as well as on camera with you guys, so I can't look up.
Francis and Magneto, you're telling scary stories in the dark.
I'm sorry. I can't look up early prelims right now. There was a fight that was like the second or third fight that I
thought. Matt Favola.
Yes, yes, yes. He, to me, looked extremely impressive.
Like 7 knockdowns in the first round? Yeah.
Somebody that I had not done enough research on that I thought was extremely impressive. Obviously, I could easily pick Figueiredo versus Moreno. That's kind of a cop out. Granted, it doesn't matter because they're good fighters. But how do you pronounce his name again? Devizvola?
Matt Favola.
Matt Favola. Steamroller Favola. Yeah, he's got to win the 50K.
Yeah, so I would easily give it to him. I thought that for an early prelim was fantastic. Again, for somebody that I hadn't done enough research on. So I would give it to either them, or the cop-out answer could be Figueiredo or Moreno, but I would give it to Favola.
All righty, Blake. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. I'm sure we'll see you back next week.
Appreciate you guys. You guys have a good one. Nice meeting you, Aaron.
See you, Blake.
All right, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still a lot to unpack here on this UFC fight show.
Another thing that I've been advising on these cards, just as like kind of a general kind of bet I've been doing, these closer fight night cards where you're just seeing a lot of really kind of closer type of fight, bet the decision on all 13 fights. You're going to make a profit. I've done this now 3 times. It's worked all 3 times on these closer fight cards. When you see kind of those fight cards where you're like, you see like a lot of like mismatches, you see a lot of potential finishes, fade away from this. But on cards like this, it's like, again, 8 out of the 11 fights, I believe, were decisions, including a decision in a heavyweight championship fight that no one expected to go to a decision. It's a profitable way to go. But you just want to kind of work from the bottom to, like, really quickly through the card? Like,
yeah, man.
Kind of go through these? Jasmine Jerzavicius? Yeah, she looked great. Really, really impressive.
Another debut, too. Another debut.
Yeah, 31 years old. You know, I think we saw a really good, you know, fighter for a few years here. She's got a good frame. Kay Hansen was a huge favorite because of name recognition only, coming up from 115 to 125. And I haven't been impressed with Kay Hansen so far, but still, I think Jasmine can win a lot of fights at featherweight, or flyweight, I should say. I'd like to see her back in there. I could see her back in there with some pretty good fighters pretty quickly.
Super impressed with Jasdovicius, but I mean, it's a good debut. When you win your UFC debut, it's impressive. But yeah, the fight as a whole, it was kind of, you know, we're just getting the vibes going with that fight, you know?
Yep, pretty much. But the second fight was great. This is one I forgot about. Vanessa Demopoulos was another one of the early plays I really liked for a submission at plus 550. Her jiu-jitsu game is just like outstanding, and not exactly how I drew it up for her to almost get knocked down on the feet, but I did think once it got to the ground, she was going to find a way to finish it with the submission. And
did you lay that?
I played it. Yeah, I played the submission plus 550.
That's why you're airing the dog, dude.
Yep. And so, yeah, that was one that I definitely was very happy with. Got really lucky on that one. And then for Vola, obviously, that was a fight I liked. I liked for Vola as a parlay piece. So we started out the night pretty well, honestly, on my card.
The thing that I liked, that's impressive right there. Early prelims, when you can start off the night like that, especially if you're betting, it's amazing. The thing I'm most impressed by Matt Frivola is the way you're able to come back after a second knockout against Terrence McKinney. That's hard to do. And if you come and get a first-round finish yourself, that's just, I think, a big statement. And they said on the commentary he's coming off two-fight losing streak. He almost had to have this win tonight. I don't think he would have been cut or anything if he lost. But to come back in a major way and get a finish like that against a guy who's been on the Contender Series, starting to build his fan base a little bit, had a crazy comeback himself on the Contender Series. But I'm very impressed with Matt Frivola tonight. 50K for me. We'll talk about it later. I don't think so, but very impressed with the way he was able to bounce back, because I'm a big Terrence McKinney guy. So,
I love McKinney, and I'm really interested about that fight with Ziem. I've been kind of back and forth on that one, to be honest with you.
That'll be interesting.
I am pumped to see that fight. I think Aljo's going to be a heavy underdog as well, Dylan. And, at this point, I wouldn't be against an Aljo play, honestly, depending on the price. But we'll get to that closer to a fight for sure. Tony Gravely, Simon Oliveira fight. I did have Simon Oliveira with a slight play, and I was getting pretty excited by those guillotines until like the fourth attempt. And then guillotine's one of those things. If you don't get on the first or second, stop.
You're too sloppy at that point, yeah.
And your arms are too gassed at that point, and you're putting yourself in a terrible position. And, I mean, you know, again, don't have hair if you're a wrestler. Why would you have hair? Because Gravely's head was able to just slip right out, especially once it was sweaty. So it's just like you might as well, like, you know, not have a big afro or something to wear, you know. Like, so, but Gravely, I still think, like, he's not anybody who's ever going to be all that great, but he'll win around this level of a fight.
Talk about bouncing back. Like he was winning against Nate Maness, and he's able to, and he lost that fight. You're thinking, you know, he's winning the wrestling battle, he's going to get guillotine. He was able to outlast him 30-27. You know, you don't love those decisions if you're Tony Gravely. I'm sure you want to finish, obviously, but to come back like he did, just like Matt Frivola, I'm impressed with those guys. But I think
Gravely's been submitted 5 times in his career, too.
Gravely,
He's been submitted a lot in his career. So it's just like, again, this is – and Oliveira, I think, had like 15 submissions going into this fight. They kept calling him a striker, but he had 15.
11.
Definitely a ton of – so, you know, it's one of those where Gravely did what he needed to do. It'll be interesting to see what he does next. Jack Della, man.
We got to talk about the finishes, man. Like that dude.
Yeah, Jack Della looked really, really good. Pete Rodriguez looked really, really bad. Like really, really bad. Obviously, 4 fights, short notice. Looks to be pretty undersized for the division. Jack Della did what he needed to do. But I think Jack Della is the real deal also. 25 years old here. Like, and he does look pretty composed in there. And, I think that they'll take their time with him, but I think he's going to be a legit contender here at 170.
Yes, and by the way, Dylan, I'm all on board with that fight. We talked about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm all on board with it myself. And, Della, I picked Martinez in this fight, but
– Rodriguez.
I picked Rodriguez in this fight. It's only 4-0. Yeah. And you know what that knockout reminded me of, Aaron?
Who's that?
Ian Garry's debut, right? Like kind of just
– I mean, yeah, it was cleaner than Ian Garry's debut. Ian Garry got in some trouble against Jordan Williams, man.
Yeah, you think it was cleaner, though, like the finishing shot?
I'm just saying, like, how close Ian Garry came to going out against Williams. I mean, Williams almost had him, but, like, Jack Della, I would not say ever had a problem there. But I get what you're saying. I'd love to see those guys against each other in a few years once they're appropriate contenders.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that threw me off about Della Maddalena is his nose. It's a little bit crooked, and I'm thinking.
He lost his first two fights of his career.
Yeah, I know. 0-2. Now you're 11-2. That's crazy. And now
that's
you're
character. That's what that is. That's character.
But you're a star in the making potentially if you're only 25 years old. So yeah, that guy's dangerous. And then, but you said you're not impressed with his opponent. So do you have like someone that would make you more impressed if he was able
to? So originally, who was Jack Della originally supposed to be against in this spot? Let me see. I have it right here. So Jack Della, I know that it was supposed to be Warley Alves. I don't exactly love giving Warley Alves like multiple chances because he annoys me. But if he's ready to go, I'd still love to see that fight. I think that again. Like with Morales, who got a really tough first opponent in Giles, they were giving Jack Della Warley Alves for his debut. That means they are expecting a lot. Warley Alves has some wins over some incredibly tough guys, including Colby Covington.
Munir Lazarev
submitted him. That's like kind of crazy to me. We couldn't even see his skills. That guy didn't belong in the non-press. Yeah, I know. But there's times where you're in there with someone who doesn't belong in the UFC and you don't look impressive still. So, Jack Della, you fight who's in front of you. He did his job. So, everything I saw from the Contender Series again, he looked the show here. And he had a really good opponent in Contender Series too. So, I think that sky's the limit for him. I'm excited to see what is next. And I'm excited to Victor Henry. Victor Henry, I think one of the dark horse debuts on this card here. Facing Rioni Barcelos, huge underdog there. And Henry absolutely took this fight over, took the fight to him. Another one of these guys later in his 30s making his debut finally in the UFC and
34.
Making the most of it. And Rioni Barcelos, in his mid 30s also, looks like Haoni's best days are kind of behind him. He did at times look like a shadow of Jose Aldo with like kind of the striking, the bouncing and everything, like how he struck, but he's not Jose Aldo.
Period. Yeah, they said it on the broadcast, 93% of the bets were on Rioni Barcelos tonight. And talk about a guy coming off a tough loss. He had another scrap against Timur Valiyev. And you talk about a guy that really just can't seem to avoid a war. And then,
Not coming up on the right side of it either.
On the wrong side of these wars. And Victor Henry making your debut like that. That's like what's going to be hard about the debut of the night. Because we had even Jazz Duvicius with her decision. You could include her in there too. But Victor Henry, I think. Yeah, was that the best debut in recent memory, would you say, from Victor?
It was a really, really strong debut, and I think immediately, puts him amongst the top 15 in the, bantamweight division, and no one saw that coming before this. And, 30-fight veteran nearly here, so, he's got a ton of experience. Josh Barnett in his corner really show the wrestling either, so.
And then we get to the main card, Michelle Pereira. We knew he was going to do some crazy stuff. That was a close fight as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm impressed with Fiallo. You talk about, I thought he was pushing the pace. He obviously was the first round, and then the third round he was pushing it. But then the more active, the more, I think, brutal shots came from Pereira. So I think he looked good tonight. He's not just all flash and kind of
awesome.
He's got some skill.
Yeah, he's become much more composed for sure. He's like kind of slowly becoming a pretty reliable piece for people to kind of count on. Andre Fiallo, very good fighter for sure. Four straight finishes in 2021 over some decent opponents at points. So be kind of interested to see. He's 27 years old. Pereira somehow, according to age on there, he's 28. I don't really believe he's 28. I'm sorry. I just do not believe that he's 28. He does not look 28. Like his body, his face, just nothing about him. He's got like 37 fights, like his fight record. But either way, he keeps kind of rolling, and he's like one or two fights away from being one fight away from like a title shot. Like, I think he's a I think he's a legitimate, you know, potential dark horse in this division. You know, he's got the flashiness, he's got the tough wins, he wrestles well. I mean, there's nothing like not to like about his performance. Fiallo, though, I will say, I think he had like single digit strikes in the second and third round. He really did slow down his pace a little bit. So a little bit of some questions there for sure. But and then Saeed Nurmagomedov, of course, with that quick ninja choke on Cody Stamann. Absolutely amazing finish there of a wrestler who's been in that position a ton of times. That's just a that was a shocking finish. For Saeed. And yeah, it's kind of tough to really know what to do with him next, but I think that if he's healthy, keep him going. I want to see more of him for sure, because he's got great striking, good counter wrestling. His offensive wrestling, not exactly there, but you know, Nurmagomedov, who can defensively wrestle, is kind of interesting.
It was a really good card. It was a really entertaining card. I know, yeah, it was. Co-main and main, you have decisions, but besides that, I mean, overall, I feel like we had a decent amount of finishes, or the finishes that we did have were really good ones. And we wrapped it up quick. And that one, what do you say we get to our awards tonight, Aaron?
Sounds good.
About that. All right. Well, I bet this is going to be a tough one for you. Debut of the night.
Debut
of the night.
Debut of the night is definitely a tough one for sure. I think that a ton of these guys who are debuting made really good debuts. It's got to be Michael Morales for me, though. I was looking forward to that debut, and he just completely came through and showed up for me. And I think that he's a really good potential star. Right now, Ecuador has two fighters in the UFC, and they're honestly two of my favorite fighters in any organization, but definitely in the UFC, and Chito Vera and now Michael Morales. So I want to see more of Michael Morales, but the Jack Della debut was really impressive too. And Victor Henry honestly might be the least flashy, but yet most impactful debut.
So I would agree with that too. Michael Morales, incredible. Victor Henry, incredible. Jack Della Maddalena.
Yeah. Maddalena. I just call him Jack Della.
Jack Della, Maddalena. You know, yeah. I think it's got to be him. I think the knockout, I guess the opponent wasn't the greatest, but you're talking about the guy who could make the biggest impact, probably either him or Morales. Sorry to Victor Henry, but I mean, Victor Henry, you beat a guy that had 93% of the bets. It's got to be Victor Henry. Even like 93% of the bets are on this guy. You're the biggest dog on the card, and you come out and impress absolutely everybody. I think Victor Henry made the biggest, best debut tonight, even though there was a lot of people. Jazovicius gets a shout-out, too, for that one. But yeah. a lot of good debuts, 8 newcomers. You don't love to see that on, you know, a pay-per-view. But, I mean, there's so much talent coming up in the sport. It's not that big of a deal in 2022. And we're going to learn these guys as this year goes along. Yeah. We get to see them more this year because they impressed me tonight. A lot of them did do really well, even the guys who lost. But I was very impressed with Victor Henry the most, I would say, tonight. That made me like, wow, that was an incredible UFC debut. You made it to the promotion. So congrats to him tonight on the win. What about your fight of the night?
Fight of the night. Fight of the night for me is, you know, it is obviously pretty tough to go against Davidson and Moreno, just because, I mean, I think a lot of, like, even the decisions were kind of lopsided. You know, Victor Henry and Haoni, I think, is close to fight of the night, but Haoni just didn't do enough to make it. He didn't do enough on his end. So, I mean, I just don't think there's another choice because, I mean, Pereira so far apart. Honestly, I'll give it to Ngannou versus Gone. I know not a lot of people would do that, but that was crazy pure MMA there from Ngannou, and it was just so unpredictable. And, you know, I'm just going to hold it against Moreno and Figueiredo that everybody expected that to be what it was. Figueiredo and Moreno was exactly what we expected it to be almost, to the point where it's like, you know, it's almost boring, right? Ngannou Gone, If you would have told me before the fight, Gon wins round one and two, I'm like, oh, turn it off. Like, this is over. You're like, oh, and Ngannou comes back. He starts to wrestle. He wins the last three rounds. He wins his first decision. You know, Dylan, whatever. I'm trying to make an interesting discussion here. It's boring to just say the Figgy Moreno. I'm going to say Ngannou gone.
I like it. And it's, we're going to talk about this for weeks to come. There's so much to unpack from this card, like the Figgy Moreno stuff. And then I think as pure MMA fans, I think we win. And even, you know, just like if you're watching this main event, you win getting to watch Francis Ngannou show his wrestling, because we all want to see the knockout. We all want to see him. But I don't think Ciryl Gane is getting knocked out anytime soon by anybody, and that includes Francis Ngannou. I don't think that guy's getting knocked out. He's too elusive. He's too slick. And I think he did take a decent amount of risk tonight too, especially with the axe kick and then some spinning attacks. He didn't play it like super safe like he could have. He could have played it, just tap the leg and do that all night long, but I think he did take a good amount of risks. And against Francis Ngannou, you do that, you're playing with death almost. So I'm impressed with both of those. I think that we won with that fight. We'll see it again, hopefully.
Yep.
The fight of the night's Figgy Moreno. But you're right. Ione Barcelos and Victor Henry were very close on that fight of the night because they were back and forth in the first couple of rounds. And then Victor Henry kind of took over. Figgy Moreno, I think we're going to see it a fourth time. Like I said in the beginning of the show, after the first round, they're smiling at each other and they just kind of know we're in for a lot of more rounds, basically, because I'm not going away, you're not going away.
Yeah, I like that Figueiredo didn't try to pull the, like, Aljo after and be like, oh, I'll see who else is compete. He, like, isn't trying to run away from it, which sometimes I get it's, like, promotion and you're – but it's, like, right here, he's like, we're fighting again. Like, sometimes I just like for – the fighters to not run away from the, you know, obvious adversity. And it's like, this is a fight that each time where you might have a different winner in a different way too.
Yeah. And then the bantamweight division was talked about a little bit tonight. Nurmagomedov, obviously, like, you've got a guy, one of the big names that a lot of people like to talk about is Sean O'Malley. And he's up there. I want to see him fight Yanez personally, but maybe like a Victor Henry. Could you imagine that fight? A veteran like that—that's
I could not see after this performance, UFC risking Sean O'Malley against Victor Henry.
That's right up their alley, you know, like a 34-year-old.
A 34-year-old taking away their cash cow? No, don't see it.
Yeah,
not with how the UFC is making decisions lately. I don't see it.
Yeah, and then not Saeed either. He was impressive.
Yeah, neither one of those guys is fighting Sean O'Malley.
Not next. That's why I like. That's why I like the honest.
Yeah, fight. Right. Yeah, Sean O'Malley's fighting what, like Cub Swanson at 135 or something. I don't know. They'll find something to give Sean.
How old is Cub now? He's got to be 35, 36.
Yeah, Pedro Munhoz. I definitely could see Sugar versus. Yeah, that's the type of. That's what we're looking at. Maybe a Rafael Assuncao. I mean, like just. That's the type of maybe Bontarine coming up to 135. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not good at matchmaking. I'm good at breaking down the matchups once they're put in front of me.
That's right. Over on Aaron the Dog MMA, where you break down not just UFC cards, LFA cards, all sorts of, you know, fight nights and just
give that. Fury, Cage Warriors with my European guy, Lewis from Norton MMA. Yeah. Really? We got a good operation over there. Bellator will be up next week. Along with the UFC.
Yeah, lots of fights, man. And then let's get to our biggest. Who's, if you're Dana White, Aaron, you're Aaron White. Who's getting the 50K bonus tonight? There's a couple.
Steamroller Favola. That to me is that's the choice. He just looked so good in this fight. You know, and I mean, it was like 2.5-3 minutes of just kind of pure action, fighting for his career too, like his UFC career, or at least two straight losses, coming up against a 10-0 fighter in Valdez, and just Favola looked great. Had a couple moments where he almost got kind of put away too. He earned it. Steamroller Favola.
I like that. I think my choice is going to be Saeed Nurmagomedov. I think the way he finished Cody Stamann. I didn't see
that. Higher level of competition for sure.
And one of my, and I don't want to rag on my guy. I mean, I'm from Kansas City, obviously, but James Krause had he does three locks every week, and he's usually 2 for 3 or 3 for 3 almost every single time. And he had Figgy, he had Saeed and Nurmagomedov over 2.5 rounds, and Trevin Giles tonight. So it just shows you kind of what a surprising card it is, because that guy is usually a nail gun when it comes to betting. So, yeah. I mean, overall impressive night. Aaron, do you have anything finally to add? First, I just want to say thank you. And thank you.
Yeah, of course.
It's a late night. You know, we like breaking down the fights. I'm not tired. You're tired. And especially with these UFC pay-per-views, we just want to keep the discussion going and talk about these fights. So we really appreciate you guys joining on. But anything finally from you, Aaron?
No, I think this is a fight that is going to age really well. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think in, you know, a year or so, we're going to look back and be like, this card had Jack Della and this card had Michael Morales on. This card had, wow, like, you know, so I just think that there was a ton, definitely. And then we already said with Francis, yeah, I think Francis, I assume it's going to be Francis John Jones or Francis Derek Lewis next. But I do think it's MMA for Francis, which is good. Yeah,
we know so. Dana. We know Dana holds John Jones high in the GOAT conversation. So mm-hmm. we'll see if he gives him the title shot. I don't know. I don't know if people want to see Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou again. I know it would be probably way more entertaining this time than it was last time, just because of the evolution that we saw from Francis tonight. But yeah. I'd like to see John Jones enter his name into the conversation at least. Maybe he gets a fight before that. But I think Francis, and we talked about it, I think, earlier, Aaron, we didn't really get that question from Joe Rogan tonight of, hey, how much fights do you have left? Do you have any opponent in mind? Or what's mm-hmm. kind of next for you? Are you going to boxing? Or he did kind of ask that, but it was
– he asked the boxing question. I mean, I don't think that with how Francis's stand-up looked, he can really even intrigue boxing. I mean, like his – yeah. It's like boxing is all about conditioning and cardio. And like, you know, like, I mean, Francis is not a boxer.
Yeah. he is the baddest man on the planet, though. That's for sure.
Sure. Sure. Especially if you can grab someone and just bear hug them to the ground. I mean, Francis is crazy. Yeah. It's like, I mean, you want to keep building Francis up, and the, you know, most likely he knocks out Derek Lewis. Yeah. But yeah, so you got to build up Ngannou. That's what you want.
We'll have to take a look to those post-fight press conferences. I'm sure Dana White's talking it up and got a lot of good fights coming up. Sean Strickland versus Jack Hermanson next weekend. Yep. And then the next pay-per-view is February 12th. And we've got all sorts good of ones. Well, then, and Robert Whittaker, Adesanya. So we'll be back next week, guys, with Jack Hermanson and Sean Strickland. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. And yep. we really appreciate it. Fight Bananas. I'm your host, Josh Beasy, for Aaron the Dog. We're out, baby. Peace.
See you guys later.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.